Hi there, Mountain View. This is Shino Tanaka, and I'm here with...
Hi, this is Saul Jaeger, and welcome to your next edition of the Silicon Valley Beat.
The Mountain View Police Department, right. Silicon Valley Beat.
This is our Monday podcast
on Tuesday. Sorry, we're a little bit behind. It was kind of a hectic day yesterday, but we have a lot to talk about.
We do. So this episode, we're going to talk about the large structure fire that we had that actually turned out to be an arson case. And put out some information on that, and we will talk about our calls and the daily blotter for the past couple days. We'll go over some of those.
Right, and then we're going to end it with the Juvenile Diversion Program.
Yes.
Which is a great, great program that the traffic unit here at Mountain View PD put on recently, and we wanted to share some information with you because we had a listener email us about wanting to learn more about pedestrian and bicycle safety.
Yeah, so we're going to go over some traffic safety in addition to the diversion program, which is an awesome program. So let's hit it. Let's go through the blotter.
All right, so I guess people still haven't learned that you can't drink and drive. So I have in my log here actually two DUIs. And you know what? I will be so happy when the day comes when I look at this police blotter and there's nothing on here about DUIs. Because it's one of the most preventable, I think, types of vehicle violations or violations in general.
Right.
If you're drunk, don't get behind the wheel. So on the 600 block of Fairmont, this occurred on the 15th, we had someone who got behind the wheel and was stopped for a violation. Turned out that person was DUI, and they were booked into San Jose Main Jail. And the vehicle code for DUI is 23-152A, subsection A, the California Vehicle Code.
And also, so on that one, it looks like the reason why they stopped him was because they were driving recklessly.
Right.
So.
And that's 23-103 of the California Vehicle Code. So
yes,
if you're driving, as my son would say, like a donkey, it's probably another indication that you shouldn't be behind the wheel. Gotta love our children, their creative use of the English language, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. He's already editing himself.
He is. It's fantastic. What do you have over there for us?
Well, I also have a DUI, but I want to save it because it's my pick for this one because it's actually fairly ironic. But one that came up two times. These are both on, looks like the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, right?
Oh, boy.
One of my things that I can't stand, a pet peeve of mine, two different vehicles, two different times, parked in a red zone blocking a fire hydrant.
Oh.
And both of them are towed.
It's
so
not good. The tow fees are pretty high.
Yeah, that's going to cost you way more than a $15 parking garage somewhere.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Or just, you know, parking in an area that, you know, sure, maybe you have to walk a couple blocks, but better than having your car towed.
It's good for you to walk.
It is.
It's important. And also, on that same note, obviously people know they can't park in a red zone, but can you park in front of a fire hydrant even if it's not a red zone?
I think the answer would be negative. You cannot.
No, you can't. It's 15 feet, so 7.5 feet on both sides of the fire hydrant.
Okay.
If you're blocking it, the reason why the fire hydrant's there is so that fire departments can use the fire hydrant. And if your car is there,
they can't.
Sometimes they'll go right over your car or right through it if
right
they need to.
Right.
So, but hopefully we'll be able to get the car out of the way. But again, it's just don't park in front of fire hydrants.
Not cool. And what's a section that we cite for?
So the authority section to remove a car from parking in a red zone or fire hydrant, they all fall in that 22-651 of the vehicle code. Specifically, subsection E, as in Edward,
all right,
is the one for the red zones.
Good to know. Good to know. So it's 7.5 feet.
On either side. 15
either
feet
side.
Total. So if you're
total.
Not sure, don't park.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
And then,
as you know, we do have fires in Mountain View, which we'll be talking about later in this podcast. So, yeah.
And, another thing on that, too, just another little, you know, unknown fact sometimes. Sometimes people will see areas around a corner, and it'll be red around the corner to 10 feet up into it or something like that around it. People don't understand why that's like that. Or certain areas.
Why is it
on
like
a T-intersection, like across the street's a red zone, but there's no real, like, kind of rhyme or reason. Well, the rhyme or reason is some of those fire trucks are gigantic, and to be able to make a turn, they can't have a car parked there.
Oh.
So you're blocking the path of a fire engine, which is bad news.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like, even with the VTA buses, some of them are pretty large, right?
Yeah.
And when you're kind of swinging around those corners and Castro.
It's hard. Good to know. Anyway, pick of the week. Can I do it?
My favorite. Go for it. It's all you, Sergeant.
This is another DUI, which is another frustrating thing for us, obviously. Yeah. But this gentleman apparently had been binge drinking for several days and ran out of alcohol. So he decided to drive to the store drunk. And when he got there, he decided that it was going to be maybe a little bit too far to walk inside. So he actually drove right into the store. Eventually he was arrested for DUI. So
was anyone hurt?
Nobody was hurt, according to this. But maybe some feelings and probably his driving record.
Oh, my gosh.
So don't drink and drive.
And what time of day did this occur? Was it in the evening time?
This looks like about 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So it's during a time when there are actually quite a few people.
People out, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't drink and drive, and don't park in front of red zones.
That's right. Very good lessons. Okay, so
let's talk about the diversion program.
Yeah, let's talk about the diversion program, shall we? For those of you who don't know, this is specifically a juvenile diversion program. So our traffic unit here is very, very proactive. At present, Sergeant Della Osa is the head of the traffic unit. And how many motor officers do we have?
Five.
So six. All right. And they're a fantastic bunch of people. I mean, they really, really do care very deeply about the safety of folks here in Mountain View. And not just citing, which is great, because that's all they do. I mean, they're motor officers. They're traffic officers. They do traffic 24/7, unlike, say, a beat officer or a police officer on patrol.
Traffic enforcement.
Thank you. Traffic enforcement. I'm sitting here next to a former traffic officer. But what they also try and do, which is very cool, is that they try and educate the youth who they cite on how to become better drivers and safer drivers. And I guess I would also say not just drivers, but bicyclists and pedestrians. And really this goes back to the education part of what we do here. It isn't just about penalizing people, but it's also about teaching them what they need to know and understand to be safe within their community. And we hope that as these kids, you know, become adults or, you know, get older, like the two of us sitting here, that they take these best practices and they stick with them. So, let's see here. On the 13th of March, we, Sergeant Jager and I, attended the first juvenile diversion program that was held in the council chambers at City Hall.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about, if you would, Sergeant Jager, the commissioner who sat in on this diversion program.
Sure. So Commissioner Madden, if anybody's gotten a ticket in Santa Clara County, specifically the northern portion, Sunnyvale, Mountain View, or Palo Alto area, mm-hmm. and have taken it to court, you've probably met him. He is the judge that sits and presides over all of the traffic court generally for this area. And he's been sort of a mainstay for a very, very long time. Very fair and
funny guy.
He had
the whole panel laughing, including the audience.
he knows his stuff, and he lives in the area, so he also knows the specific intersections when officers are talking about where the violation actually occurred. So it's great to have him come in on his own time. He volunteered. He brought his robes in and everything and sat in the council chambers pretty much doing what he does day to day.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very, very neat. And, you know, this is a really unique program that Mountain View is actually stepping up to do something like this. You know, rather than not only is this avoiding penalties and fees and things, because the kids actually get all of this stuff wiped off their record, whatever the citation was for, whether it's for bike helmets or bicycling wrong way or pedestrian violations or even vehicle code violations, speeding and things like that. But it's the education piece that's huge. They get to sit there. The judge gets to talk to them and explain mm-hmm. the violations. Their parents are there because usually the parents are the ones that are financially responsible for what they do, right?
That's right.
Thank you.
Insurance.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of what we're going at. And, you know, obviously people see a motor cop and they think they're going to get a ticket. And, you know, that is their job is enforcement. But really, you know, Mountain View really strives to take the time to really educate people in the community as much as possible, not just do enforcement, because sometimes it's better to learn without getting a ticket, but right. sometimes there isn't any other way, and mm-hmm. you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, really what the city is great about is it's not just, you know, telling you what you've done wrong, but trying to help educate people through the process or even before the process. So a couple of things that we wanted to cover in today's podcast are around bicycle and pedestrian injuries, as well as a couple of vehicle code violations that pertain to these two topics. And there are a couple of people who listened to our podcast that were interested in learning more about this. So I'm just going to kick us off here. So a couple of common causes of bicycle and pedestrian injuries include crashing or falling when not wearing a helmet. Mm-hmm. I see so many bicyclists, Sergeant, who are riding around without helmets. Yeah. Adults. Not children, yeah. I mean children too, but adults.
Or they have their helmet on their arm.
Yeah.
Or handlebar.
Or it's attached to their backpack.
Right.
Yeah, not a good idea. Yeah,
it's not a fashion statement.
No, no.
You know, you're not going to be able to put your helmet on right before you get hit by a car. And you know, the other thing, we've said this before on our podcast, is that, you know, even if you're right as a bicyclist and you get hit by a car, you're the one that's probably going to get hurt. So, you know, you'd think you'd want to wear your safety gear as best as you can. I mean, you don't see police officers on bicycles not wearing helmets.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of the same thing, right?
And children under the age of 18 years, when riding a bicycle, scooter, skateboard, or skates, are required to wear a helmet. Mm-hmm. And the vehicle code section that covers that is 21212 subsection A. That's 21212 subsection A. And again, children under the age of 18 are required to wear a helmet when riding a bicycle, scooter, skateboard, or skating.
Yep. And make sure it's on correctly. I mean, we're looking at a picture right now, and it's, you know, you got to just make sure that your kid's wearing your helmet correctly as well. Because if it's worn super loose, like you see a lot of the skaters wearing it, on the back of their head, you might as well not even be wearing a helmet at that point. So.
And the data says that, you know, properly fitted helmet, it can reduce the risk of serious head injuries by 85%. And so just a side note here, I've had 3 concussions, all right? And I can vouch for this. Had I not been wearing a helmet, it would have been a lot worse. And, I ride horses, and one of the things that I see often is people don't wear helmets when they ride, which really scares me. And the last time my horse kicked me off, I did have my helmet on. I landed right on top of my head. And the doctor, my neurologist, said, hey, you think about looking at another sport? No, but that's a whole other topic. But my point being, it would have been significantly worse had I not been wearing a helmet that was properly secured. So please do invest in that. It's
especially
really,
if you're riding a horse in Mountain View, make sure you're wearing your helmet. And probably don't ride a mountain. Don't ride a horse in Mountain View.
Don't ride a horse in Mountain View.
Although that would confuse a lot of the traffic guys. They wouldn't know what to start.
That would be pretty funny, though.
There's no license plate.
I'll be out with a horse on Castro. all right, so let's move on to a couple of other things with regards to sort of rules of the road.
Yep.
Just some common sense stuff. You know, stop and look. Don't assume that people see you, whether you're a bicyclist, a pedestrian, you're on your skateboard. Mm-hmm. Make sure to make eye contact.
That's
with
huge.
Right. Eye contact is huge, right? Mm-hmm. And that even pertains to when you're behind the wheel and you do that shoulder check, right? Actually look behind you to make sure that no one's in your blind spot.
Yep. The most common one is a car turning right, looking left, because they're looking at traffic coming towards them to see if they can make the right turn safely. And you have a pedestrian that's crossing from the driver's perspective across their vehicle in front, from the right to the left. The driver's looking left, they're not going to see you, and they're going to start going. And, you know, you may, again, you're going to hear this from me a lot, you as the pedestrian might be right and have the right of way, but you're going to get hit by a car if they're not looking at you. So it's, you know, in your best interest to make sure that they're watching you.
Exactly. And, you know, I got to say, as the weather starts to improve here, we are seeing a lot of folks who are jaywalking. And not only does this confuse the heck out of people who are driving and they're, you know, they see a green light and then they see you crossing across that green light, but it is actually a violation. If there is a don't walk sign flashing or you're walking against, or the hand.
The red hand,
You can be cited for a vehicle code violation, which is 21456 subsection B.
Yeah.
Have you ever cited for that, Sergeant?
I have, yeah. You can't step off the, I mean, it's there for a reason. You can't step off the curb unless it's the little walkie guy or it says walk. Like, walk sign is on or the little
walk sign is on.
Yeah, or the little walkie guy. If it's a red hand or if it says don't walk, don't walk. I mean, I hate to say that, you know, just follow the signals, but really that they're there for your safety. There's a reason why there's a time down and a clock on there. And, you know, we're trying to make it as, you know, but there's only so many things that signs can do for you.
Right.
Part of it is the responsibility of people, both pedestrians, bicyclists, vehicles, everybody. It's everybody's responsibility for your own safety.
Speaking of safety and responsibility, oftentimes I see people crossing mid-block, and that scares the heck out of me because it's for whatever reason I see it during commute times.
Mm-hmm.
On El Camino, granted, yes, I mean it will take you a couple more minutes to walk to an intersection, cross, you know, mm-hmm. At a controlled intersection, but jumping out mid-block and crossing through traffic is again one of those things where you just do not want to do. Vehicles aren't prepared to see you doing
right.
that.
Especially on a big road like El Camino where there's a gigantic median. They're not expecting a car to come out. And people don't realize how fast people are going, too. I mean, mm-hmm. the speed limit is 35 on El Camino, but we would regularly get people going 50 miles an hour plus. If you were to do the math, you know, so a car going 50 miles an hour, even if they see you, they may not even have time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so just don't do it. And a couple of other sort of rules of the road for pedestrians: walk on the sidewalks. That's what they're there for. They're meant to be for pedestrians.
Mm.
If there isn't a sidewalk, walk facing traffic. Now, can you give us a little insight into why you want to walk facing traffic?
Well, I mean, it allows the furthest view of the driver to be able to see you. It also mm-hmm. allows you to see oncoming traffic.
That's right.
So otherwise, everybody's coming up. If you were walking with traffic, vehicles are going to be coming up behind you. You're not going to mm-hmm. be able to see them.
Mm-hmm. And then do not walk in the bike lane if a sidewalk is available, because mm-hmm. the bike lane is meant for...
bikes.
Okay. Speaking of bikes, we're going to talk about a couple of bike rules now. So this is always a little bit tricky, because I would say, well, okay, not tricky per se, but during the season when it gets darker earlier, or it's darker later, or anyway, when it's just dark outside,
the lights change.
Right? A front white headlight and a rear reflector are required at nights.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize this.
Yeah, you have to have a white light to the front and a red reflector, but we actually suggest having a red light to the back too.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's a good thing. You, again, the reason why you want to do that is one, so you can see, but more importantly, so you're visible to traffic.
Uh-huh. It's all about visibility.
This happens a lot. We get people riding their bikes at night and they're, you know, completely dark. And you don't even see them until you're right on top of them.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's dangerous.
And I mean, some of these bicyclists ride pretty fast down mm-hmm. these streets. I mean, they're great. I mean, I can barely pedal 5 miles an hour. And the section that covers that is 21201 subsection D of the California Vehicle Code. A couple of other important rules about bike safety, and we'll actually be covering a little bit of this more in another podcast, but ride in the same direction as cars. Don't ride against mm-hmm. traffic. Right? And I don't know if people remember this, but bicycles actually do have to follow the same rules of the road
mm-hmm.
as drivers of vehicles.
Yep. So one of the lessons that I used to try to give people was if you can't do it in a car, mm. you can't do it on a bike. So can you run a red light?
No.
In a car? No. Can you drive on the sidewalk in a car? No. Can you drive the wrong way down the street? You know, no. So it's the same rules.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Except you don't have to wear a helmet in your car. You can.
That's true. You can.
If you really want to.
And the vehicle code that covers that section that Sergeant Jager just talked about is 21200 of the California Vehicle Code. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do see here in Mountain View are folks who ride on the road. Sorry, I just had a couple here. You know when you have those times or moments where you just, everything just slips out? You know, I blame it on my concussion, okay? Kids, make sure you wear your helmet, okay?
Or this will happen to you.
Sidewalks are for pedestrians and not for bicyclists, so please do ride in the bike lane.
Yep.
If there is one available. Anything else that we should cover with regards to bicycle and pedestrian safety?
I don't think so right now. Again, we're going to do another podcast in the future with our traffic team, hopefully, or some representatives of them. And
mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll have more questions. And again, you know, if people have questions about bicycle safety, rules of the road for driving, tips, things like that, or questions that they want, answered, shoot them our way, and we'll get them in front of either the traffic team, or we'll handle them ourselves, or, you know, we'll talk to the traffic team in depth when we get some representatives to come in and do that podcast.
And how can people get a hold of us, Sergeant Jager?
Oh, so many ways. There's so many ways.
Well, let's start off with our phone number. 650-903-6344 is a non-emergency number for the Mountain View Police Department. That's 650-903-6344.
Mm-hmm. Or they can go to our blog. Which is a great starting point anyway, which is mountainviewpoliceblog.com, all spelled out, mountainviewpoliceblog.com. And that'll give you access to all of our social channels, actually, right from there. But we're also on
Twitter, at Mountain View PD. Twitter is at Mountain View PD. We are also available on Facebook, and you can find us under Mountain View Police Department there. And for those who are interested, we have a fantastic platform, notification platform that we use called Nixle. It's N-I-X-L-E. And essentially, you can text your zip code to 888-777. That's 888-777. And you will receive alerts either to your phone and or email, depending on what you signed up for, about important events or incidents going on in Mountain View. Again, that's 888-777. Text your zip code to that number, and we will send out important alerts to you that you'll receive straight to your smartphone.
Mm-hmm. So stay in touch with us so we can stay in touch with you.
Yes.
Ooh, that was good. Thanks.
Not bad. Two cups of coffee
and I'm good. So can we talk about what everybody's been waiting for?
Oh, yeah.
The stuff in the news?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep,
so
let's talk about that.
We had a fire reported on Fordham in the city of Mountain View. It was on the 16th, very, very early in the morning. And through the investigation of the fire, it was actually determined that the cause of the fire was actually arson, which started inside of the home. And what's neat about this one is another interesting fact about Mountain View Police Department. We work and collaborate with many different agencies. A lot of people understand on the criminal side, we work with gang task forces and the FBI and the DEA and all that kind of thing. But also on the fire and arson investigation side of the world, Santa Clara County has a fire investigation task force, and they are tied very closely with the ATF.
Right. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Right. Yeah. So this fire specifically, it was considered a suspicious fire, they brought out the task force to come out and to help them determine origin and cause. And again, I'm not a fire investigation expert or anything, but that's they came in yesterday and they were here with the ATF. And again, they were the ones that made the determination that is arson. So what we're looking for with the public's help is that... Did you have more?
Oh, sorry. No, I just want to mention, this is the fire that was on Fordham.
Right.
Okay.
So yes, Fordham Way in Mountain View. 1700 block is where it was. So if you saw the news, this was out quite a bit yesterday. But anyway, they determined that the arson was caused from inside of the residence. But in addition to the arson, there was a vehicle stolen from the residence, from the driveway.
Right, and that vehicle is described as a light blue 2003 Audi A4, a four-door, with California license plate 5HJM491. That's 5 Henry John Mary 491. So, Sergeant Jager, if someone sees this vehicle, what should they do?
Call 911. Call 911 right away. Don't try to intervene. Don't try to follow. Nothing like that. This is a pretty dangerous crime. I mean, if you think about the recklessness and thoughtlessness that goes into somebody starting a fire in a house and stealing a car, this is a dangerous person. So.
And not only are we looking for this person who's driving this vehicle, but we believe they were involved in the arson as well as residential burglary. Of the residence that was burned on Fordham.
Yeah. So we're looking for your help in locating the car. Again, it's a light blue 2003 four-door Audi A4 with the California license plate 5HJM491. There's several different light blue models for Audi, so look carefully at the license plate, 5HJM491.
Right. And there are a couple ways that you can inform us besides calling 911. You can call us on our line 650-903-6395 and then go straight to communications.
That's, do we have a tip line?
We do. Mm. One more time, 903-6395. You can also send us anonymous tips from your cell phone. And that text number is 274-637. That's 274-637. Just be sure to include MV tips. That's M as in Mary, V as in Victor, tips, all one word, T-I-P-S, in the body of your message so that it goes to us. And again, this is anonymous. We have no way of tracking you. But if you have information about this or any other crime, really, in Mountain View, you can text us. We'll receive it. We can talk to you back and forth. Again, it's anonymous. You can send us images, video, a bunch of stuff. So it's a great way of also reaching out to us if you're concerned about revealing your identity. Mm-hmm. And we've received quite a few just amazing tips through this channel.
Yeah, and that's a great point. If we can sort of reiterate that on this specific crime, mm-hmm. we're looking for the Audi or any information around this arson or burglary or stolen vehicle. But like Shino said, if you have information about any other crime and you want to remain anonymous for whatever the reason is, that tip line is a great way to get a hold of us.
That's right. And again, that's 274-637 is the number you text your tip to. And just be sure to include MV tips in the body of your message so that we receive it.
All right.
All right, so...
Well, I think that's it
Is that it? I think that's it for me. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we probably do want to mention is that people ask us, well, you know, how come you didn't have your podcast this day or that day? Or, you know, how come you only released one podcast? Or how come there isn't any rhyme or reason to your podcast? Sergeant Jaeger?
It's a loaded question. There is a rhyme or reason. We've said before, we're trying really hard to shoot for Monday and Thursday to get the podcast out. But really what it comes down to is we have other duties here as well. Obviously, this is a police department, so sometimes things get... sometimes other things become priority right away. And so when it comes to investigations and safety and public safety and law enforcement operations and things like that, unfortunately, this is going to be one of the things that we're going to have to push back a little bit. It is very, very important to our unit, and we're getting a lot of traction from it. People are very interested in this, which is awesome. But again, I mean, I hope that people understand that your expectation of the police department is, you know, hey, catch the bad guys
first
and then do your podcast, right? Don't like, oh, well, you know, hold on a second, bad guy.
Yeah.
Hold these handcuffs real quick. We need 30 minutes to do a podcast.
Right, right. So we apologize. We understand that, you know, like some other podcast channels or just programs that you're used to listening on a regular basis, we definitely strive to be like that, but it isn't really always practical for us to do so. So we apologize again, but... we hope you'll hang in there with us.
Stay with us. There's good stuff to come.
That's right.
And we're getting better at this.
And if you have any suggestions, shoot them our way. You can find us on Twitter at Mountain View PD. That's at Mountain View PD. On Facebook, you can find us at Mountain View Police Department. And there's always our blog, mountainviewpoliceblog.com. Again, that's mountainviewpoliceblog.com. Additionally, you can email us at police@mountainview.gov. Is that it, Sergeant Jaeger?
That's all I got.
Have a great day, Mountain View.
Any unit available? I got a 1066 that just ran across from the apartment complex towards the train track and might be hiding.
10 Barber, 1019.